KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from the Northwest Missouri State University Athletic Offices for today's program with Matt Tritton. I'm John Coffey. And Matt, it's been another unusual week due to COVID-19. I mean, think that's going to be something that we'll see a lot of, not only with Northwest, but just around the MIAA, as Northwest men's team didn't have any games this past week. Now the women's team, they were able to get in a couple, and then you look at the schedule for this week, it's all been wiped out due to COVID.
Yeah, I guess that's just kind of where we're at right now with 2020. The upside, though, is, John, that we are only about 16 days from this year coming to a close, so 2021 can only get better. But, yeah, it's been kind of bizarre. You think about the men's game supposed to be playing against Missouri Western after the women's game wrapped up on Saturday. But due to some COVID-19 protocols, they didn't get that one in. So the men's team will have a layoff from December 5th when they took on Lincoln here at home and picked up a win to move to 3-0. All the way to December 31st for their next basketball game, which will be in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, against Northeastern State. So it's a long layoff here for Northwest. You know, John, the other great part about having these up here in the Bearcat offices is because Mark Rosewell just walked in carrying a cutout of Mark Rosewell.
Yeah, if one wasn't bad enough, we had two here today.
Which Rosewell is one of the only fans we've been able to have at home games because they put his cardboard cutout in the stands for that weekend against Lincoln and UCM. But so a long layoff for the men's basketball team, as we were mentioning a little bit ago. They've got one game coming up, one more here in 2020. That'll be in Tahlequah against Northeastern State on the 31st. As for the women's team, picking up some momentum. They've won two in a row. The defense has really shown out these past few games as well. But then, yeah, it's kind of a punch to the gut to lose these games this week when they're supposed to be playing at Missouri Southern, at Pittsburgh State, a couple really winnable ball games, a chance to go to 5-2 before wrapping up and heading into Christmas break. But due to those COVID-19 protocols, that's wiped out. And you kind of hope that maybe this is a blessing in disguise to have this right now. You lose two games this week as opposed to losing, you know, four over a two-week span for the women's team, or even maybe more, depending on how those testing might have come back. So you just have to hope that both teams can go through, enjoy the holidays, but be able to get back, be healthy, and be ready to go once we do hit this stretch run after Christmas.
Or you talk about having the games wiped out early in the season might be advantageous. I think one area where it helps out is just the rescheduling of the games, where you kind of get a jump on getting some of these games rescheduled, where they get a little bit later in the season, it might be a little bit tougher to get those games in, with maybe some other teams having some similar issues where they've got their games rescheduled too. So you kind of get a jump start on that too.
Yeah, you're right. And for those that don't know, the rescheduled games that we have so far, it starts with December 31st, the men taking on Northeastern State on the road. The Northwest men will play Missouri Western in St. Joseph on January 19th for the makeup game there. The Pittsburgh State game will actually be made up on January 2nd, so 2 days after the Northwest plays in Tahlequah. That women's men's doubleheader will be played in Pittsburgh on the 2nd. And then February 2nd, the Bearcat teams will be in Joplin to take on Missouri Southern. So all those games that were wiped out have been rescheduled. But now it's just, yeah, as you get into late January, February, how does the rescheduling happen? Of course, the MIAA going through and saying that the standings will be based on kind of a weighted depending on your wins, losses, but also what you're doing with how many games you're getting in. So they've got a few caveats to kind of make sure that if one team's playing all of their games and one team only plays 11 of their games, that they're going to make sure that that other team has that leg up in the event they have a similar records, similar winning percentages. So, but yeah, it's all you can do just to get these games in and hope that you have a chance to play in the tournament when that rolls around, whenever that might be.
Yeah, again, a lot of things are will be a situation, as we talked about earlier, where you just have to be flexible with the way that things will play out here. But going back to last week in that Northwest women's exhibition with Drake, the final score didn't look good, 82-30, but I really think the team came out of that feeling good about some of the things they accomplished in that exhibition.
Yeah, well, first, they kind of got taken down a notch even before that game started, whenever Emma Atwood went down with an injury during practice, and so she missed that game and the Missouri Western basketball game. And so the Bearcats were also without Janet Green, who got hurt the previous week, so down some post players, and they had to come out against a really athletic, a big Drake team that had a lot of speed, that gets up and down the floor. And so they got beat, and they got beat by a team that will play in the NCAA Division I tournament whenever that rolls around later in March or April. But, yeah, plenty of lessons to be taken away from that, and they played hard throughout, and they felt like they got a lot of good shots, but dealing with that length from Drake made it a little bit difficult. But having that adjustment going through, playing such an athletic team, playing without a couple players, kind of gave them a feel of what that would be like on Saturday against Missouri Western, playing without Emma Atwood. And not a great offensive game for Northwest, only putting up 51 points, shooting, I think, in the mid-30s percentage-wise, but made the plays that mattered when it came down to it. I mean, Jalen Haggard hadn't hit a three-pointer in that basketball game until there were 38 seconds left. She hits one to bring the Bearcats back within one. And then Molly Hartnett, we've kind of seen her do it throughout this season so far, these first five games. She just went to work there in those final 10 seconds and put the Bearcats on top with 2.4 left with an impressive layup over another impressive freshman for Missouri Western and Camille Evans. So that's a big win. The Bearcats' first win in St. Joseph over Missouri Western since 2011. A lot of confidence moving forward. It's just unfortunate we can't see that kind of continue to build with games this week.
I thought one of the things that came out of that Drake exhibition that I think carried over to Saturday with Missouri Western is Northwest will never play a team, I think, that does the plays in transition as well as what Drake did in the fast break going in that Drake game. And, of course, Missouri Western has been known early in this season to be a pretty good team in transition, but Northwest really slowed that down on Saturday.
Well, you did see that Drake took off, and they got some fast break layups and some buckets there because Northwest a few times didn't get back in transition. But, yeah, I think that's kind of a wake-up call because you turned around against Missouri Western, and Evans for Missouri Western, who I mentioned, she's a player that wants to get back in a hurry and see that defense not set up and attack it in multiple ways. And she's the leading scorer for the Griffins. She only finished with 3 or 4 points in that game because Northwest kept her in shape. They got back quickly on defense and did a good job in that regard. So, yeah, not the greatest offensive game for Northwest, but they found other ways to make it happen.
Again, it's the KXEV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We got a good show on hand for you during this new time, as we'll be talking with Northwest Athletic Director Andy Peterson, along with Austin Meyer, the head coach of the Northwest women's team, and also Ben McCollum, the head coach of the Northwest men's basketball team. Ben will be up next when we come back right after this timeout on the KXEV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitzenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitzenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or pitsautobody.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information on location or at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville, St. Joe, Mound City, and Tarkio. The Rogers family has been providing Northwest Missouri families with pharmacy services, medical supplies, and home medical equipment since 1967. More online at rogersrx.com. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Delbert's Garage at 714 North Depot in Maryville. Delbert and his team handle car and truck repairs from brakes and air conditioners to replacing engines and transmissions. More at 660-562-0025.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from the Northwest Missouri State Athletic Offices this afternoon, and we're joined now by the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. And Ben, your week this past week ended up being a little bit different than what we thought last week when we had a chance to talk with you, with some COVID cases and games being wiped out this past week.
Yeah, didn't have a lot to do. We just watched a lot of film this week. Hopefully, once we hit the practice floor again, we'll be able to hit the ground running and be ready to roll.
How do you go through the protocols and everything players are out, and then as far as quarantining as well, to try to make sure that the team can stay in shape and ready to go here?
You know, I think that's probably the biggest issue. You obviously encourage them to exercise and to work out and to get outside and obviously not go in buildings, etc. But you need to make sure that they try to stay in some kind of shape, because once you're out of this quarantine, you jump into the life and the balance. And so that's 20 days off, and then you're going to play on the 31st of December. So it's really almost more dangerous than it is helpful, especially with no one around and how bubbled those kids are. So we've tried to keep them in shape as much as we could, the ones that didn't test positive, and you know, we'll see where that goes from there.
I would imagine from a planning standpoint going into the season, you kind of had to plan for something like this happening just because of the way things have gone this year, to where you probably had to have kind of a plan in the back pocket here to pull out for something like this.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those kind of double-edged sword type of things where we didn't have a single case from our team the entire school year. So our kids have done as good a job as they can to mitigate. Obviously, with COVID, you don't really control when or how or where you get it. But I felt like our kids have done a good job of avoiding and staying away from it. Now, in the middle of the season, other teams have had it in the preseason and not necessarily here, but just in general. You know, I have 10 or 12 cases, and so they're going to continue to play. Whereas we're not, and so it's an interesting dynamic where it's like you never hope for somebody to get it. The problem now is now half the team's being, I don't know if they're being punished necessarily, but having to sit out and now run the risk of injury when they come back. So it's one of those tough situations that isn't easy to navigate, and you don't necessarily plan for it regardless of how much you can say you plan for it. You just don't, and so... our kids have kept a great attitude, though. They've stayed positive, you know, and that's another thing you have to make sure of when kids are in quarantine this long is their mental health. I know it sounds simple, oh, you know, whatever, but it's not as easy as you think in today's day and age, because then they sit on social media the whole time, and that's as much punishment as there is.
As far as the way the season's gone really up to this point, too, it's been kind of tough from the standpoint you had to wait for the regular season to get going, and then when you got the schedule rolling, you had Northeastern State, the first team, and they had some cases on their end where that game got postponed, and then you got one game in with Rogers State, and then it was Thanksgiving break, so you had to wait a little bit there. Then you come back, play two games, and now another significant time away. So it's been kind of a hard time getting some momentum going for your team, it seems like.
Yeah, and that'll probably be the case the whole season. I don't think anybody's really gotten great momentum at this point just because of all the restrictions and I guess the mitigation practices. So that is what it is. I mean, we can't control that, but we just have to control our response to it, and we're trying our hardest.
Again, off until December 31st with that trip down to Tahlequah to face Northeastern State. Between now and then, what are some of the things you want to try to do with this team to make sure that they're as ready as they can be for that next game?
Get them out of quarantine. Heal the people that have tested positive for COVID. You know, give some gifts for Christmas is what we'll do too. Receive some gifts. Hopefully I get a good one. I certainly didn't get a meal today for this radio show. Still incredibly disappointed in that. So other than that, you know, then I got to find some food today too. So that's about it.
Now, I think you have to show up on time for the food. Yeah, everybody went through the buffet and they picked it up. You're a little late. So,
well, and plus Colin brought you salad, so I don't know what you're complaining about.
Colin brought me a salad with ranch. So he got an entire meal, and instead of giving me his sandwich or his cookie or his chips or whatever else he had, he brings me in a salad.
I think they had cheesecake
dressing.
Also.
Cheesecake? Wow. See, he ate that too. I bet it had cherry on it. Unbelievable.
Well, look at it this way, though. He's just trying to keep you healthy with the greens and everything. You're looking out for your health.
No, absolutely. I can see that from Colin. He is very concerned about my health and safety. He's always been that way.
This past week, Fort Hays State had a big game as they played an exhibition in Kansas State. What do you think of when you watch and see an MIAA team go up and play K-State, coming away with a victory there? When a team that in the MIAA struggled a little bit, but they knocked off in Division I there. What goes through your mind when you watch that?
Well, imagine if they had their coaches too, because they didn't have their coaches either. I mean, we've always thought that we can compete with some teams, and you know, K-State just happens to be the one that played Fort Hays, and Fort Hays played really well. I think you're going to see a lot of random games like that just this year, regardless, just because, just all the distractions, the inability to stay present or the ability to stay present. I just think you're going to see it. No crowds, et cetera. And so, I don't know. I've always thought that we could compete with a lot of teams. I guess I didn't read that much into it. Outside of, I'm surprised that a lot of these teams are giving Division IIs a chance, but we haven't got a chance.
We've
begged and pleaded to try to play some Division I, so if anybody's out there, we would love to play
it. That's kind of a victim of your own success there a bit.
Yeah, no, we got a lot of calls my first couple years. We got to go everywhere. Everybody wanted to play us then, so it's a strange concept. Now all of a sudden we don't get those calls anymore.
All right. Well, Ben, thanks a lot for being with us here on the show. We'll let you go and grab something to eat here. So.
Yeah, is that it? Trenton, do you have any questions at all?
I'll let you go this time.
Good, Trenton. Wow, that was an easy interview today,
yeah,
John.
Yeah.
I was here for the long haul.
Well, we appreciate that, but you seemed like you're hungry. So.
Yeah. No, I'll expect my meal in my office.
And have you done your Christmas shopping, too? You probably need to go do that.
Yes.
So Michelle's not listening. Did you purchase her present?
Yes.
I don't believe you.
Is it something that she would like?
Debatable.
New fishing pole. You'll break it in.
Yes.
All right. That's the informative Ben McCollum with us here on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll be back and have more for you right after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Millen Dinsdale Seed Company in Maryville and Oregon. Representing Golden Harvest Corn and NK Soybeans, Millen Dinsdale reminds you that there are no practice fields in farming. More at MillenDinsdaleSeed.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at NWMCell.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey. Praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prinery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Today's game is brought to you by the Estates of Maryville, a vintage cooperative presenting adults 55 and better in inside-outside maintenance-free individual home ownership and active lifestyle within a new development off Icon Road in Maryville. More information is at vintagecooperatives.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors on South Main in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800. Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, broadcasting live this noontime from the athletic offices on the Northwest Missouri State Campus and joined by Andy Peterson, Northwest Athletic Director. And Andy, you've got quite a job this year, not only with the normal day-to-day duties of athletic director, but when you throw in COVID-19 and all the things that go along with that, it makes for some busy days for you, I imagine.
It's entertaining, and they say that idle hands are devil's handiwork. I got a lot of coaches with idle hands right now, and it is showing, I believe, as I look to my left at Colin McDonough as he chuckles here.
Well, who's the toughest to handle right now?
No comment.
Sounds like an interview we had with Ben just a few moments ago.
There. He's just hangry.
Guy goes without lunch. Things happen.
It's 12:15, though. It's still the lunch hour. Most people get hangry at 1, 1:30, 2 o'clock if you skip lunch, but he's – wow. Surprising.
We'll have to keep this in mind next time.
Yeah.
Well, let's just talk about this past week. Again, cancellations or postponements due to COVID-19 wiping out the men's game this past week with Missouri Western. Then you look ahead toward this week, Missouri Southern and Pittsburgh State wiped out on both sides due to COVID-19. And again, just talk a little bit about how everything transpired here this past week.
Yeah, you know, for us, it's on the men's side, it's the 2-week quarantine. It's 14 days, and you know, we had a young man with symptoms within 48 hours of the game on Saturday, and so that contact traced pretty much the whole team. And then after that, you know, we had a couple more positive cases in the days succeeding that. So, you know, that kind of was it for them. You know, we have been kind of fighting through trying to figure out, you know, CDC has proposed some quarantine adjustments that if you test out, you can test out after day 7 if you don't have symptoms and that sort of thing. So we're not there yet. You know, that's, you know, Nottoway County, it's a local health deal, not blaming anybody or anything like that, but that's something that we're working through with Nottoway County. It just hasn't come to fruition yet, you know, and they're talking with our medical folks here on campus, you know, our team doctor, athletic trainer, Mosaic, Nottoway County, just make sure that we're doing what we need to do to protect, you know, the community and campus and our team, obviously. But at the same time, you know, I've said a few times throughout this whole deal, it's not that COVID is not fair. It's that COVID is going to be unfair. And there's a difference there. And so, you know, it is frustrating for Coach McCollum, for, you know, for coaches around the country, wherever, to, you know, you go across the city line or you go across the county line and there's a university in a different town in a different county and they just have different regulations. And it's because, you know, they've got, you know, COVID at different rate, different population, different, a whole bunch of different circumstances that lead to that. And so, yeah, I just go back to that. It's not that it's not fair. It's that COVID is going to be unfair. And just trying to accept that is just very difficult when you've got, you know, 18 to 22-year-old competitors that are trying to get out there.
I imagine, too, not only the physical side, but just the ailments of those who come down with COVID and trying to make sure that they're safe and are in good health when they come back to play, but the mental aspect of everyone involved that where you have to go into quarantine, there's some issues there that try to do to make sure that they're healthy from a mental standpoint.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you're talking about, like I said, young people, men and women who came to whatever university to compete in sports. And we've had a lot of sports that haven't been able to compete this year. And so there's the you know, the other half for men's and women's basketball and track and field, you know, your winter sports right now, they still have a season. So, you know, we haven't got so far that we've canceled the season where, you know, we had to do that last spring. We had to do it this fall. We've made it through. We've played some games so far this winter. So we're fortunate in that sense. You know, I think we're one of three college Division II conferences to be playing basketball right now or have played games right now. So we're fortunate in that sense. It's just, you know, there's a timing deal. You know, I think you heard Coach Mack say with men's basketball right now, with their 2 weeks, leads right into our week break for Life in the Balance, which turns into 3 weeks, which is significant when you talk about, you know, soft tissue injuries and stuff like that coming back and trying to play at a high level. But, you know, it just becomes difficult and it's hard to manage, and it's not just the physical part, it's the mental part, because you've got kids, people, people sitting at home, not just athletes, I just mean in general COVID and quarantine, healthy people sitting at home, and you just got to sit there and wait for your time to be done. And you know, it's not about you necessarily, it's about the people around you and keeping people safe. So yeah, it's a hard pill to swallow. You know, at the same time, those folks that are sick, it's not that we're downplaying that it's serious or real. We understand that. We probably read more data and have dove into more medical journal articles and stuff than we ever thought we would because of this whole deal. And so, you know, you hope and you pray that those people recover and they don't have any lasting effects and can come back and return to the normal activities afterwards. Yeah, it's become a tough thing, you know, and you talk with coaches like Mac and others who take such pride in competing at a high level and controlling things they can control, and there's nothing you can control about this. So that's where it gets real tough.
And from an administrative standpoint, then you have to deal with the rescheduling games and trying to make sure that the schedules work for both teams involved, and sometimes more than two teams when you're looking at multiple postponements here. Just on that aspect of things, what are the difficulties of trying to get some of these games rescheduled? Yeah,
just timing and the schedules, the preset schedule you already have. You know, I know that Mac and Jeff Boshi at Southern talked quite a bit. I know that Mac and Will Martin at Western talked a lot because they wanted to try to match up the same type of scenario that they were in now. So, obviously, it's Western's home game, so we playing at Western. But we were coming off two home games, and so we kind of wanted to match that up later on in the schedule. So you try to find that date where we're coming off a home weekend, they're coming off a home weekend, which is easy because we're travel partners, but and then mixing that in before we go back on the road. So not near as difficult with Western, but with Southern and Pitt, it's a little, there's a few more nuances there because they're not our travel partners. And Western's playing them this week. So they're not trying to make up two games, they're just making up one, but we're making up two. And so it gets challenging in that sense. It's almost harder now because there's so many options. We could play any Tuesday night. You know, Pitt and Southern are both, you know, 3.5-4 hours away. If Mac really had to, he'd get up and drive down there and play and drive back. You know, he doesn't want to if he doesn't have to, because you want to give your guys an opportunity to win at the same time. But that's just where right now you got a bunch of options. You got a bunch of weeks out there. It's a bunch of schedule to look through, two whole months, all that stuff. You know, if this happens again or it happens again after that and you're trying to, you know, like right now it was just three games. You know, if we reschedule these, now you're playing on a Tuesday and that weekend, two games. And if you're still under a 14-day quarantine, you got the next week, which could be two or three games. And all of a sudden, you're postponing six games. You know, there's not enough dates left on the calendar to reschedule those. So that's where it'll get tough quick. And you're trying to do what's best for both teams. But at some point, rescheduling games is going to be a tough hill to climb.
And especially too, when you look at it from the standpoint of two separate programs with the men and women, where this week, though, you've got both that you've had to reschedule, but you look at the men's game with Northeastern State, that's a single game you have to work into, yep. And you never know what the scenarios are going to be the rest of the way in a lot of these.
Right, and, you know, it's every time that we have those kids, you know, test for COVID, you're playing a gambling game because you just don't know how they're going to come back because there's so many kids that are asymptomatic. And we saw that with football. You know, we had 9 or 10 guys that were completely asymptomatic that popped positive, and that changes everything. So, you know, it's one thing, and it's what we've been dealing with the last week and a half. It's one thing with when folks develop symptoms. You know, you can understand that. You can address that. You can make sure that they're taken care of and watched and all that sort of thing. But when you're completely asymptomatic and pop positive, that's when it really gets to become a mental health type of an issue of a why me or what now or how did I get it? Where was I exposed and how come I'm not showing symptoms and all that stuff? So it gets to be a challenge quick. But I kind of go back to your other question. You know, you got the mental health part of right now we're trying to feed these guys that are locked in their apartments, and so you're delivering food to their door. You know, Mac's got managers and or teammates or whoever who aren't in quarantine that I guess they're all in quarantine, so it'd be the managers and assistant coaches that are they're driving around trying to, you know, deliver food to these guys' doorsteps. And you what's the door ding dash, what are they
door dash
and a bunch of guys. And so, you know, it's you don't even get that interaction there when you're delivering food to folks that are in quarantine or isolation or whatever. So it's a challenge. It's a weird deal. But you know, every day you wake up is a gift, and you just got to keep on doing what's best for the long run.
All right, switch sports here just a bit. As far as indoor track and field goals, what's the possibility on things going with indoor track?
So we're planning on having track meets in January and February. I think Coach Masters has got 4 or 5 on the schedule to host in Hughes Fieldhouse. You know, we made the decision with track meets to not allow fans at all, which you know, I don't want to step on toes of my track fans out there, but you know, it's not a whole bunch of people, in general our track meets, you know, 75-80% of the people in the facility are the athletes anyway, and so we just feel like to maintain safety, we can move the teams to the perimeter outside the track, and that's where they can have their team camps and kind of set up in their own little bubbles, and then we can have meaningful track meets with 10, 12 teams. You know, you're probably averaging anywhere from 30 to 50 kids per team. You know, we're looking at 400, 500, 600 people, 700 people maybe at most. But in 132,000 square feet in track meet, we feel like we can space them out and do that safely. But, you know, we're going to have to abide by our NCAA, MIAA protocols in terms of testing and the week of and that sort of thing. And hopefully have some good track meets in Hughes Field House next month. And our kids can show out at home and have some good memories, I guess, during a pandemic.
Now, also, you've had a chance to host a couple of basketball games already. What did you learn out of those first two home basketball games that can maybe carry over or change from that for the rest of the home schedule?
I think we kind of appreciated how. You know, I've got to give a lot of kudos to my team, to Kirsten and Troy and Ryan and Colin and Lori, and then our trainers, Kelly and Nick, just for the preparation that went into it, because I feel like we were very comfortable, I think. We only allowed families in for both teams, and then I held some tickets back. We held some tickets back for visiting fans as well. I think Central Missouri brought 25, and then Lincoln brought, you know, a dozen or so, but I think we got a good plan. I think we were ready to go. We probably could have hosted more people. I don't think it was worth it at the time, just with two home games before Christmas. Just safety, health and safety wise. I wish we would have had more there, just for our kids, for our student athletes, for the environment. But I think it solidified for me anyway that our planning mitigation plans are solid. I think we're ready that if we do get the go-ahead to go up to that 25% capacity, we can do so safely. You know, for the most part, people were very accommodating with masks and staying 6 foot apart and stuff like that. It looks, I will admit, it looks a little funny on video, because we had pre-assigned seats before the season, trying to get season ticket holders and families in, stuff like that. So the 150 people we did have there were fairly close together, but in the grand scheme of things, when you were in the facility, there was nobody sitting behind the teams, hardly. There was nobody in the end zone. So there's a lot of space in Bearcat that, you know, you get kind of nervous when you think about 25%, 20%, 15%. I think we had 7 or 8% for those two games. Even sometimes you say 25%. I said, man, that's kind of a lot of people. Well, it's not really when you spread them out in there. So I felt pretty good about that. You know, we just kind of see where how the holidays go, and we get through that as we get to January 7th and 9th, that we can host some people and hopefully have some fun in Bearcat Arena.
All right, Andy, thanks a lot for being with us.
Appreciate it, John.
That's Andy Peterson, Athletic Director at Northwest Missouri State. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming up on the Coach's Show as Austin Myers with us, and we'll talk women's basketball right after this timeout on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coach's Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner, south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, serving residents and employees in Nottoway, Andrew, Atchison, Holt, and Worth counties, Northwest alumni in 19 school districts across the area. Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Loshaw Optometry, serving Maryville and the surrounding area. Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information is available at 660-241-5001.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store at pizzaranch.com.
We are back inside Lamp Connectivity Center on the Northwest Missouri State campus for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Now talking Northwest Missouri State women's basketball with head coach Austin Meyer. And coach, I guess we've kind of hit the inevitable. Knew at some point we're probably going to be hit that women's basketball team with the COVID bug. It just so happened it was this week prior to Christmas. So I guess there was always worse times for it to happen, but you knew at some point it was coming.
Yeah, no, I thought overall, you know, if you think about us starting our season, our preseason in September, to go this far and only miss six total days, you know, we missed obviously these two games coming up and a few practices. So, I mean, I think it's been a success as far as following the protocols and doing all we could to stay healthy. Obviously, at the end of the day, you know, you can control the contact tracing a little bit more than you can control the actual virus. You can do everything you're supposed to do, and you still might get it. So, but I thought our team did a great job, and just happy for them that we had a chance to play so many games.
I mean, you get five regular season games in, plus two exhibition. With those Division I, there's so much more testing that goes along with it. Was it kind of a matter of, from the day practice started up until this week, kind of holding your breath, kind of see what was going to happen?
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, those Division I games is tough because you're doing it, you know, every other day leading up into the game. And so, yeah, no, I anticipated if we had something, it probably would have been around one of those Division I games. But, no, we were able to get through most of it, and we just tried to spin it positive, and hey, you got an extra week of Christmas break, so enjoy the time, a little more time with family, and then we'll get back ready to go after the second or after Christmas.
You won back-to-back regular season games. You get a good emotional win on the road at Missouri Western on Saturday. Did it feel like this was a week, if you could get the games in, that that's some momentum you could ride?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and we've been as careful on this as anybody. I'm convinced of that with our training staff and admin staff, and they've done a great job. You know, I mean, we even early on had kids doing the COVID protocol that didn't even have COVID, you know, but we thought, well, they might have, and even though they didn't test positive. So we've done everything we could to be safe and play it right. And, you know, this week when it happened, we're disappointed that we don't get a play, but, you know, there's also that element of we got some people out right now that, it gives Jaina Green an extra week to a couple weeks to get healthy. So, I'm probably a little too positive in this game called life, but I definitely spun it positively.
There's no such thing as too positive, is there?
Now, people get on me sometimes. I'll put some stuff on, you know, social media and stuff. They get on me for being positive, so I don't
really?
Know. I guess maybe just really negative people don't like that.
Of all places that there needs to be positivity is social media.
Yeah, there's not a lot. It's a, as they call it, it's a good place for negativity. So if you're having too good a day, jump on there and it'll bring you down plenty.
Especially if you're a Raiders fan on a Sunday.
Well, that's always a bad thing to be a Raiders fan, Matt. We know that.
We'll go into that a little bit later. Speaking of, never mind. That was a bad transition I had coming up, and it was going to be negative toward Missouri Western, and we don't need that right now.
No.
We're all positive.
Yep, it's all good.
But you think about that basketball game on Saturday. It had been quite a while since Northwest had won in St. Joseph over Missouri Western. What's the message going into it? And then obviously the celebration afterward that had to feel like a burden off your back.
Yeah, no, we just felt like, you know, we felt like we matched up well with them, even with the kids that we had out. You know, we talked about the multiple people we had out of that game, but we still felt like we had an experienced group. We had a good mix, and we felt like if we went in there and competed and played hard, played to our ability, we'd have a chance to win the game. Obviously, we didn't shoot the ball well. They didn't shoot the ball very well either. It was a defensive battle, but we did a great job in transition. That was a strength of theirs. Watching back on the film, watched it. I've had a little more time. Watched it four times now, but we did a great job defensive transition, slowing them down. We only turned it over six times. So once again, those things keep you in games, and it gave us a chance to win late.
Final play coming down. Molly mentioned, you know, in the timeout, it was shooters in the corners go. If you got a pass, give it to somebody. Otherwise, take it yourself. Whenever you're spreading out the floor, you think about the ball in her hands. But then at the same time, even on a rough shooting day, you have to respect those shooters. That's a pretty easy one to draw up, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's part of our philosophy. You know, when we recruit is, you know, what do people shoot from three? You know, it's not about how many points you score. It's about how efficient you are and how well do you shoot it. And that's a big part of what we do. So having those shooters out on the floor, you have to respect it. Even somebody, we all know how great a shooter Jaylen is. She struggled that game. But, you know, four-point game under a minute, she gets a, you know, can barely breathe, gets a quick look, gets it off and hits it, and it was a huge shot for us. So you have to respect our shooters, and it does open up the floor. And Molly's as good as anybody we've had at just getting downhill 1-on-1. We put, you know, we set a lot of high ball screens in our offense, but they're late. We kind of moved Jay into that spot to hopefully create a switch, which they did end up switching. So Molly got the mismatch, and that was that.
You know, you think about that play before when Jaylen hit the three to make it a one-point game. She takes that feed from a true freshman on the floor. The game winner comes from a true freshman. Did you ever sit back and think, we've got three seniors and two other players that are probably 18 years old out there on the floor guiding us to this win?
Yeah, no, we knew coming in, you know, we knew we had that experience, kids that had been in the program, and then we knew how talented the young kids were. And, you know, obviously everybody's seen what Molly's done so far, but Kaylee Kesson's going to be a player. There's no doubt about it. She just, you know, she was out for 3-4 weeks with a high ankle sprain. When she came back, she had, I think, one day of practice, and we threw her in the UCM game. And then, you know, we really hadn't had a lot of time to scrimmage and practice. You know, Emma got hurt 3 minutes into a day where we had about an hour of scrimmage planned. And it's at that point, it's kind of hard to get back into scrimmaging when something like that happens. So we kind of had to axe it that day, didn't do a lot of live stuff the next day, and then played. So her only action to get better has been, you know, in the game against Central, Lincoln, Drake, in game. So that's tough for a freshman to say, hey, here's your chance to get better is going to be right during the game. So here you go. But she did a great job. You know, I think she turned it over, I think, only one time in 22 minutes. And you know, got to give credit to Coach Houston, too. He's done a great job with her of keeping it simple. She's talented. She's got a great feel. But at times she tries to kind of do a little bit too much. And I think she's starting to figure that out, that I just got to be myself, make simple plays and let the game come to me. And she was great.
Especially think about some of those games in St. Joseph over the years to where turnovers really have kind of bit Northwest. Now you think about those two freshman guards, Keston and Hartnett, you know, 53 minutes they combined, maybe one turnover in that basketball game. It just feels like things kind of flip. Even on a bad shooting night, you're still making the most of those possessions.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's you know, that's something I thought we did a decent job the last couple of years in our first 2 years. But if we can continue that and now that we're more efficient offensively, it's only going to help us. I say more efficient, but we were 18 of 50 or whatever from the field on Saturday, so hopefully we are more efficient. But leading up to that game, we had been more efficient. And once again, if you can take care of it, that's a big part of the game. And then we feel like we've done a good job of getting back in transition. You know, limiting second chance opportunities has been big for us too. We gave up too many of those on Saturday, so that could have been one of those. You go back and look at, we gave up, you know, an offensive rebound here, whatever, and all of a sudden it's a one-point game. So you go back and you watch, there's a lot of things in that game. You win by 1 point that you show them on film and say, hey, if we didn't do this, we lose that game. Or we could have done this, and you don't have to make a shot late to win that game.
We talked so much about those last few minutes and what those meant, and Haggard with the big shot and Hartnett. That first half, McConkie went off and had one of her better offensive halves of the year, and Stillman hit some big three-pointers throughout that game, and good to see some of those seniors stepping up in that moment.
Yeah, McConkie and Mia were great. Mal kept us in the game early with her mentality, attack it downhill, hit a couple threes, which she hadn't shot it well in games or even in practice scrimmages, but we're confident in her. She's put so much time in. She's in the gym as much as anybody, so that's a big part of it. And yeah, Mia locked in, hit some shots and played with good energy, which she does, and she's had a really good, you know, 3 week stretch of practices and has been really good for us, and we've needed her to be. And those kids have been around, they're experienced, and it was good to see them, you know, be successful.
John asked Ben McComb a little bit earlier about how you keep them in shape, keep players focused as we go into an extended Christmas break like this, but what are the conversations you have with players?
Yeah, I mean, for us, like, I just sent something out to the group text, you know, just to, you know, let them know. Obviously, we have a little bit longer now that, you know, relax, get your rest at the beginning of this break. You know, we have, you know, 2 weeks now, so and then start to, you know, make sure you're ready to go, that the first practice back, it's not, oh, hey, I haven't ran in 2 weeks. It's got to be, you know, they got to be doing stuff at home, so that they're ready when we do have that first practice back, that it's a good practice. It's not just to get the Christmas break out of the way, because we only have 5 days going into Pittsburgh State. So we put a lot of trust into our kids. You know, we're not going to – I mean, we'll check in on them, but we're not going to make them send us video of them working out. You know, we trust that they're going to do it, and if they don't, then we're probably not going to be successful. Pretty simple.
With the players that you have, and you talk about how many of them love to just spend time in the gym and shoot – I feel like the gym has to be an escape for some of these players in a year like this. That's probably pretty tough when you can't come in right now.
Yeah, definitely. And that's been our, you know, we talk about in every recruiting when we have recruits on campus, and the big part of it is how much time are you putting in outside of practice? And that's where you get that confidence from and putting it in. So if we can get kids and within recruiting in our program that want to put time in, we're not have to beg them to get in the gym. then we can focus more in practice on the, you know, the offensive system, defensive system stuff. But yeah, like you said, it's a getaway for most of them, and they like to be in there. So, you know, we're confident that they will be.
On that positive note that is social media, I've seen the hashtag Elevate for Northwest Women's Basketball. Can you tell us kind of the background of that and what that means to the program?
Yeah, Dylan Johnson, who's doing our video stuff for us right now, this is the first time in my 3 years that I've had somebody that can do that. Macy can do it, but she obviously we give her enough other jobs that we don't need her doing a lot of video. But he asked what our team slogan was, and I said, I don't know. I don't really have one. I'm not that smart or creative. So he said, this is what I think it should be. And so we took it, and I like it. So I can't really take credit for it, but but no, he's been great for us, and it's fun to have that stuff. I know the kids and families love it. So and then to get a win like that against Missouri Western and get some of that stuff out there, I think it's good for our program.
It has to help with the recruiting too, you know, just another piece to it.
Yeah, we don't have to do a lot of that for the next couple of years, but we're gonna have 13 freshmen next year when you factor in all the eligibility stuff, which is kind of crazy. Emma Atwood's gonna be a third year freshman for us.
Wow.
With everybody the eligibility, so it'll be interesting, kind of how we organize things moving forward.
My stat sheets just get bigger and bigger with every year that you're here. So
yeah, there you go.
It's good. So you've got all this time off. What are you planning for Christmas? Are you cooking more at home for Kelsey? What do you have going on?
If I said I would, she probably won't listen to this, but if I said, she'd call me out and say, yeah, right. But now I'll try to do some stuff around the house, clean the garage out a little bit this morning. I'm usually the clean guy at home. She's the cook. So try to get organized and catch up on things. And it's amazing how your stress level goes down. Like early on, you're wanting to play. Are we going to have a season? Are we going to play? Are we going to play? And it's like you're all stressed out about that. And then finally you get a play. And then you're stressed out about playing because you're preparing and scouting reports and all this stuff. So when we knew we weren't going to play this week, it was kind of like, man, that stinks. And then it was kind of like, ah, man, I'm not as stressed out because I don't have to watch Southern all day and Pitt and spend all this time watching film. So I don't really know. I've tried to get my wife to take off work and go to a beach or something, but she probably won't do that.
The beach at Mazingo?
Thinking a little more further south.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So like Lake Contrarian, St. Joe.
Maybe even a little farther south
than
that. Yeah.
We'll keep going south, yeah.
Yeah.
Austin, we appreciate the time. Always good talking to you. And, hey, 7 games into this point, that's a minor victory, so we'll take it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
All right, have a great Christmas. Appreciate it.
Yep, you too. Thanks, Matt.
Austin Meyer, Northwest Missouri State head coach, joining us here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll take a timeout and be back with possibly Colin McDonough or Ryan Milkey here from the Northwest Athletic Department. That's coming up on the Bearcat Coaches Show.
Today's game is underwritten by Clarinda Regional Health Center, offering support to Southwest Iowa and Northwest Missouri each day during times of uncertainty through emergency services and a local team of providers and nurses. More information at clarindahealth.com. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carlson Seed in Blanchard, Iowa. Carlson Seed's been family-owned since 1973 and distributes DeKalb Asgrow seeds, chemicals, precision planting products, and more. For more information, carlsonseed.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Maryville Forum. For over 150 years, the Forum has served the area with local news, sports, and information in print or online at maryvilleforum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Gardner Family Dentistry on South Main in Maryville. Dr. Jeffrey Gardner and his staff specialize in treating the whole family with a variety of services, including general dentistry, crowns, implants, and more. Information available at MaryvilleSmiles.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors on South Main in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 582-8800. Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store at PizzaRanch.com.
We're back once again on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Matt Tritton being joined now by Colin McDonough, the Assistant Athletic Director for Communications and Media Relations, is that correct?
Yep, or you can just simplify it, Sports Information, SID, Sports Information
Director. I like to put you really high on that pedestal.
A lot of excessive words that are probably unnecessary, but
it is
keep me on the pedestal.
And then being rejoined by head women's basketball coach Austin Meyer. Did you guys cross paths when you were in school? Or is Colin just a little bit older?
Just a touch. I'm a little older. I graduated in 98, and then Austin would have been here early 2000.
Yep, 02. Yep. Unfortunately, we didn't cross paths earlier. I'd have been a lot better person at a younger age.
Wow.
He did cross paths with my sister because she helped Chad Waller in the department a little bit, so he knew of her. I don't know if he really knew her that well, but she helped in the department.
She never really said anything about you, so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
So wait, Austin, you dated Colin's sister?
No, that's not the case.
No, okay. I misread. My apologies. So this week, since we don't have Bearcat basketball on Saturday, we're running our 15th week and final week of Bearcat Classics, one of our Bearcat football games from the previous years. This week it's the 1999 National Championship for Bearcat football, which, Colin, you were at that game, right?
I was not.
You weren't?
Not to correct you. I graduated in 98.
Well, you so did correct me, though.
I was in the – I have to correct you. It was the 98 championship game that I was at. They beat Carson Newman 24-6. The next year, I was actually an intern at the University of Akron watching the game on TV. We had a home basketball game that day, and I told my boss, I'll be in when the game's over. It should be, what, three-and-a-half-hour game. It went a little long, four overtimes, obviously. I got there before the tip, which was fine. I was only helping with TV stats or something like that at that point, but it was I think he was starting to get a little worried that I wasn't going to show up, but then I said, I think you just missed the greatest college football game ever. So I had recorded the game, and so the next day I went over to his house on a Sunday, I think it was, and we watched the game, and he was amazed at the level of play that game was at, but then just the ups and downs, thinking that the Bearcats were done down by 15 with 3 minutes to go, and you score a touchdown. You kick the extra point, keep it within eight. Luckily, a guy named Melvin Oates ran out of bounds, saved us some time. Travis Miles had an injury. Johnny McMiniman comes in, think he's going to take a snap. He takes a delay game. Don't actually have a play, but then Travis Miles comes back in the game. I thought Coach T was pulling a fast one there. I asked him later on down the road if that was what that was not planned at all. Just they got a delay game, and then Travis came in, and I think it was J.R. Flip Hill caught the ball, scored the touchdown, and then Ryan George dragging a toe, unbelievable, in the back of that end zone. One of my good friends, Rob Brown, was still there and was covering that game. And we had gone to so many games through the years, so just from 94 through 98. And I had gotten into the point where I said, you have to stay calm during these games. We're working. We can't have celebration. And I remember when Ryan caught that and tapped that toe down and it panned across on the TV, and I saw Rob there, and he was calm with it because you could tell he's like, all right, we're just tied. We still got overtime. Whereas most people were just jumping in the air and celebrating. And I miss Rob dearly. He passed away in a car accident in 2002 and was one of my best friends. That's a key part of Bearcat Athletics was me and Rob and all those trips that we made. It was so fun. I can remember everything about that 98 season. And then somewhat into 99, too, even though I was away.
And that's the beauty of it, too, is there's so much that you make friends and the relationships and you remember from those games of old. And, of course, you can tell your sports information director because you have every minor detail.
That was incredible.
That was,
I can't even remember.
It?
I watched the game last night, and I can't remember that much stuff.
If my wife asked me to do the laundry and the dishes, I would have forgotten it. But I can certainly bring up any memory from those years, and that's the type of stuff that I think sticks in my mind. It makes it. I think that's what has made me perfect for this job. I just love being a part of sports and stories and hearing all that and letting it sink in. My wife would say, "Well, you can do that too with some things in life that you can just let soak into." It's just the way I'm built, I guess.
This year too at Northwest for you as a
I guess it'll be
again?
The third year.
Third,
because it was 2018, 2019. This will be 2020. Although this year, if you'd ask Andy, I'm not sure I've worked a whole lot. So
still getting that paycheck though.
This golf game's gotten better, though.
A little bit. Austin, what year in high school were you in 99? Were you in high school?
In 99, I was 15 years old, so I was probably getting my learner's permit. So,
and not thinking about college, more just the upcoming weekend.
Yeah, I didn't really know much about Northwest Missouri State at that time, honestly.
When did it come on your radar? Was it Coach Tapp giving you a call?
Yeah, Coach Tapp, my senior year of high school, 2002, so 01, 02.
Were you considering anything else besides Northwest?
Central. It came down to Central Missouri and Northwest. So Kim Anderson was the head coach at Central at the time, and Coach Tapp, and just love the environment, the everything we have here, you know, today, and the campus and the people. So,
whenever you got into coaching after that, were those conversations you'd have with Kim after that? Of course, he had some great teams and won a national championship at UCM. But was that ever come up again?
No, not really. He had just got the job, too. You know, we met in his office. He had a bunch of boxes, hadn't even really moved in. And their program at that point wasn't at a level that he got it to. So, and you could kind of tell just by the culture, the environment, walking around at the time that this was the place.
Colin, whenever you think back to Coach Tatmeyer, whenever you were here and those basketball teams and now what they're doing under Coach McCollum. I mean, is it kind of unbelievable to think about how the Bearcats have continued to grow? I mean, a couple of Elite Eights with Coach Tapp, but now winning championships and perennial number one.
I remember being in college, and Ricky Jolly had been there. He was a transfer from Penn State, and I thought one year we'd actually won the MIAA title. I went home for spring break. I came back, and Gene Castle, who was the sports editor at the time, or he was working with him on the newspaper. He's the Washburn SID now. But he told me, oh, yeah, you missed over break. They actually they took away that title. They said Ricky was ineligible. I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, you can't just take away a title because you want it on the floor. But there was some rule, I think, that Ricky had competed in an exhibition game or some one year at Penn State and it counted as a year of eligibility. And I think some individuals at that school in Warrensburg were holding that information, just waiting to use it at the right time, and came back to burn the Bearcats a little bit. But I mean, at that point, you're just thinking, just win a conference title in basketball. That's amazing. And now to think that if you don't win a conference title, people are going to be saying, "What is wrong?" Whereas now, it's just unbelievable the way it's changed from a football and basketball standpoint. Even when I was a freshman, being 0-11 with Coach T, and seeing where it was then, and then obviously where it is and how it's continued. I think that's the hardest part of being in college athletics is once you win, is staying on top, because you can get up there. And that's a hard hill to climb, but just continue to stay on that hill and keep climbing. It's truly amazing to do it in football and men's basketball. And Austin, I'm sure, is going to do this soon. We just keep getting wins. It was fun to be a part of Saturday's game down there at Missouri Western. It was a tough game back and forth. Felt like it was just going to be a nail biter back and forth. And then Western was up by 9. You're thinking, boy, it's going to be hard to make up 9 points right now. But defensively, just dug in, kept it close, just kept chipping away. And couple missed free throws here and there. We just kept making it back, and then a huge shot by Jalen, and then Molly with that big bucket drawn up nicely by Coach Meyer.
And I feel like that's a win, too, that you think about that right now is like a building block win as you move forward. You get some confidence, some young players, the seniors feed off of it as well, that, I don't know, maybe in 3 or 4 years you look back and be like, man, it felt like things kind of started to turn with that win at St. Joe.
Yeah, and you know, he was talking about just the getting to that level of success with the football program and men's basketball, and it's crazy. I think back to when you won that first title, you know, in 2000, whenever it was, with the in Mac's third year, and how exciting that was. Next year was exciting, really exciting. It's exciting every year, but then it just becomes, oh, we did it again. Oh, we did it again. And hate to say, but you just get in the locker room and you never get to experience that excitement when you're at that level. And that's what I don't think people realize is, like, now the national championship is really cool because that's the ultimate. But I mean, when you get to, I don't even know what they're at. I lost track of what they're at now, conference championships, but in a row. But you know, you get to 3, 4, 5, and it's just like, oh, all right, well, what are we gonna do tomorrow? You know, you guys wanna go get dinner afterwards? Whereas, you know, for us, you know, we won that game at Missouri Western, and we were more excited in that locker room than probably after 4 or 5 of the conference championships, just because it's new and it's the first time it's happened in a while. So I think that, like Colin says, is the toughest part about getting to that level. I even think about going to some football games over the years where you'd be watching people, oh, man, this game's kind of boring because it's, you know, 63-10 or whatever, Northwest is ahead. But it's like, well, that, I mean, this is a good thing, you know. You can't knock it. And then you think about first round playoff games where, and we have the best fans in the country. But even like, oh, I'll just skip the first round game. I'll go next week. And it's crazy when you think about it. But so that's why, you know, for me in our program, it's a fun time to try to get things to that level.
We do have just a couple more minutes before we have to wrap things up. You're talking with Colin McDonough, Northwest Missouri State SID, and Austin Meyer, Bearcat head women's basketball coach. Almost gave you head football coach. You got 2 minutes. So I've asked John this on the air during basketball games, and I've kind of grilled him on it because you guys have seen a lot of Northwest men's basketball and played it. The best Bearcat men's basketball player of all time. Where are you going?
Andy Peters.
I didn't say the best guy that's signing your paycheck in the room right now.
Oh, is he in here? I didn't know he was even in the room. Sorry about that. The best men's basketball player that I have ever seen.
Or maybe you haven't seen.
I got to believe. Oh, boy. I hate to single somebody out from that standpoint. It's just
We can say they don't. Nobody playing right now can be included. So it's just prior eras. Austin, if you have one on top of your tongue.
I mean, for me, if you say I can't say anybody playing now, that helps me.
Yeah. Nobody playing now.
Because there's a few good ones right now, but I'd probably say, and I hadn't been around, you know, real long, Justin Pitts. I just think he was as good as they get. I mean, DeShaun Cooper was great. Didn't think we'd get better. Justin Pitts, I thought, was a little bit better. Didn't think we'd get better. And then there's Travis. So, I mean, Justin was unbelievable.
Colin?
I didn't get to see a lot of those guys in person. Being at other schools at that time, and being away, I mean, I would see them in the NCAA tournament, and certainly when they got to the championship game in that Elite Eight in Sioux Falls, I could see them play. But that was really the first I had seen of Justin Pitts, and to me, he looked phenomenal. I would like to have seen the full, from like game to game, how good he was, and DeShaun the same way. I mean, I was used to like Shaky Harrington and Matt Redd, Steve the Man Simon, as people were calling. But I mean, the level of hoops has been raised so much, and that's not like it wasn't bad then. It was good, but it's just so elite.
Yeah,
kind of like noon ball, Colin.
Exactly,
with Colin,
it's all elite.
Too.
Yeah, I know John Coffey likes his Vic Coleman, one of the greatest of all time. But that's actually going to wrap things up for us. We appreciate you guys coming on the show and everybody involved with today's Bearcat Coaches Show. For John Coffey, I'm Matt Tritton saying so long from Lamp Connectivity Center.